Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful stuff. Coach, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir. And how are you?
Very well, thank you, man. Are you doing well? Long time no speak.
I am very well, thanks. The Lord has been great. I appreciate the blessing of life.
Beautiful stuff, man.
And so we thank God for the ability, the opportunity to be alive, man.
Yeah. That's great, man. Great to hear from you. I hope the weekend was good as well.
Well, weekends are always the busiest if you're a Christian media content creator.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's right. Been a good one. We thank the Lord. How are you doing?
We're doing well, man. We're doing well. It's just been a minute. We have not spoken in a long time, but I do hope that all is good with you. Now, I'm glad that we're going to be, spending this week with you. We're going to be talking about technology and faith and how digital advances impact the spiritual life. And so, yeah, I want to welcome our listeners as well who are joining us, and do know that Coach Melusi Ndlalambi, who's also Elder Ndlalambi, is joining us this afternoon. Now, advances in the tech and digital spaces have no doubt impacted our lives in so many different ways that our spiritual lives are no exceptions. And now this week, we want to be focusing on the different ways that our spiritual lives have been touched positively and, of course, negatively by the changes in the digital media space. Now, Coach, we don't need to go far back. We simply just need to look at the changes in the last, let's say, about 30 years or plus minus or 40 years, and speak to us about the changes that we've seen.
Man, if there's one big transformation that has happened in our universe, it is the unlocking of digital technologies. We have perfected the art of sending information across the world without having to move out of the comforts of our homes. From the time Mr. Bell and his mate or his assistant, whose name was Hello, created the phone, and Mr. Bell called the assistant by her name, Hello, like I would call Zama. And today we now use Hello as a greeting word. We have moved so fast from that time when we discovered the airwaves. And these discoveries actually happened at a time when God was needing his message to fly in the midst of the heavens. And so from the 19th century, we have seen a catalytic development to us not only being able to send men to the moon and still communicate with them, but we have developed lenses and digital technologies and automobile and aerocrafts that have taken satellites into the airwaves. We have discovered how we can connect computers together to create the World Wide Web, which we also call the Internet. We have discovered how to carry hundreds of people in the mid-air and transport them to the other side of the world, a journey that many years ago would take you months unending. It now takes an overnight travel. It then brings us back to that prophecy by Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, for men shall run to and fro.
Yeah.
And knowledge shall increase. And so we have that prophecy that tells us that in the last days, in fact, let me actually read it here so that we can share this knowledge with our viewer.
All right.
And if you read chapter 12 of Daniel, it says, men shall run to and fro, for knowledge shall increase. And so knowledge increasing both technologically, understanding what we can do in the airwaves, in the water, and the different materials that we have, how to take the different materials, mold them into a super powerful machine that can cost you a lot of money. All right. And we call it a car. And so the prophecies we come to in our day are that the end times will be an age of digital disruption. The question I want to discuss with you and our viewers is this a blessing or is this a challenge? I don't know which side you want to take. It would be nice to hear what our listeners think about this, but there are two sides to each coin. The first one I would like to take is this has been a blessing in disguise.
Okay.
For the gospel. Because the gospel needed this invention. The gospel needed the opening of technology for us to take it to the ends of the world. Because the human being, as an evangelist, cannot and has not been able to reach parts of Africa where God is still remotely known. But technology, the Adventist World Radio, you'd find it in places where no literature evangelist or where no preachers have reached, but communities are listening and tapping into this message on the airwaves. We put things on internet, we live stream them, and they go around the world to communities and countries and people we never knew. And that is fulfilling the message of Revelation 14, and this gospel shall be preached. Which says the angels were flying in the midst of heaven with the everlasting gospel to preach it into all the world. So it is happening. And the world is getting evangelized at a pace that I believe is fulfilling the word of Jesus when he said, the last days shall be shortened. My personal conviction, I don't know what the believers out there believe, but I believe when you send the gospel into the airwaves, it acts as a catalyst and it goes around the world perhaps seven times, if not more, before the preacher even lands on the other side in an aircraft. So if I was to put you, Zama, on an aeroplane to go and preach in Rwanda, for example, in the Central Africa, Kigali, and as you board your aircraft here, I start my live stream. By the time you land in Rwanda, the people will be telling you, we know exactly what the message is. It has already been preached to
us.
So that's the advantage for the gospel, in that it has given us that huge leverage to push the gospel further. And by Jesus' message, that has shortened time. How?
Sorry about that. What happened there? All right. Yes?
Yes, it has shortened time in that a journey I would need to take to get to Rwanda in 4 hours, I can actually in 4 hours stream 4 messages.
True.
And do a whole week of prayer, live streaming it one speaker after the other. By the time you get to Rwanda in 4 hours, I'm done.
And the message is gone.
With a whole week of prayer. The message is gone to the whole world. So it has actually shortened the time it takes to preach. So this word we call going viral simply means we are able now to get the gospel to many people in the shortest possible time. And by so doing, we are shortening the workload and the time we need to do it. So I personally believe that it's a blessing for the gospel. But because it's digital technology, it comes with a lot of disruptions. We can no longer host our churches the way we did in the 90s, the early 2000s. You've got to realize that membership to a church has now ceased to be people who sit in the pews. There's a new breed of membership which is called viewers, that are actually diligently following you, but they've never been physically in your church. The pews are now views.
Pews are now
All right, the pulpits that we have in the churches are now being converted into platforms.
Pulpits to
where
platforms.
Where we upload content. Yeah, pulpits to platforms.
Pews to views.
And the amens that we used to get in the church when we preach are now likes. Okay? And the shares. People are now sharing what we received with others within their networks. So we now have to create a church network that works for evangelism. We've got to now measure up because the fish have shifted. The church needs to know, I can sit in your church and when I get bored by your sermon, I can switch to a sermon that's being preached in Australia, in UK or America while I'm physically with you. So the church has to now shift to feed a different flock of fishes that are no longer able or are able to sit in our pews, but they sit online and wait for us to go live. That space requires a new breed of speakers and teachers and preachers. And we need to begin to inculcate in the way of our teaching and our preaching how we do it for the digital platform. So that's how the church is being disrupted. And not only is it being disrupted physically, but also financially.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to come to your church to give my offering. I can now do it digitally from wherever I am. And how do you then harness, you know, stewardship opportunities that the online church is presenting? It's really something our church needs to figure out. Because the audiences are no longer traditional.
Yeah, no longer the same.
And so that for me becomes a huge disruption. But also, when you throw your content online, it's now different from the old church because you now are forced to compete with the best media houses that are also broadcasting on the same platforms we are on. Perhaps they have been doing it on these platforms longer than we have been from before. So they have perfected the art of broadcasting online and sharing their messages on blogs and podcasts and all of that.
Yeah.
It also means we need a different regulatory framework for us to be able to tap into those platforms. If you're going to wait for your church board to approve what gets uploaded, you'll never get the views. News becomes active and goes viral in the next 3 hours. By the time you want to do it next week or next month, it's when done. Your church board sees, it's gone. It's stale news. So we have to restructure our church structures to really be professional in what we are putting out there because you're competing with, and I'm using the word competing because that's exactly what it is. The algorithm doesn't care you have a Jesus to promote. They will promote content that sells to their viewers online. And so the membership online and the membership in church are different. We need to change our structures to fit them because this is a digital disruption age.
Now, my elder, you know, there's a comment here coming online. It says the blessing or challenge is that as quickly as the word of God can now be shared worldwide, that's exactly how fast lies, misinformation and wickedness can also spread.
Absolutely. That's true. In fact, wickedness gets more viral than the real thing. Remember the story of how truth was bathing. It's a story that's used to illustrate the point. Truth was bathing and lies came around and saw truth's clothes and he took the clothes and ran and truth was running behind lies to try and get his clothes back. And so when lies came into the city, they didn't really mind because they were expecting truth's clothes. But when truth finally came and he was naked, they said, here comes naked truth. But also, true to that comment, lies can go around the world while truth is still putting on his shoes. Which actually explains the fact that we need to find a way of being quick on our move to get the truth out as soon as possible. our message is flying.
Yes.
You don't fly at a slow speed. When you fly that aeroplane, when I take off, they tell me they are hitting 600-700 kilometers per hour. They're almost reaching the speed of sound. Birds don't fly in slow motion. Anything that flies epitomizes speed. So the quicker we react with accuracy and well-researched methods, the better it will be for us online. Otherwise, people will make opinions and views about us without our truth.
True.
And so, yes, that's the disruption, and it's quite correct. That view is definitely on the money. We have to move quickly. And that's our challenge in this day and age.
Now, and I've got another comment here, my coach. It says, some may argue that the danger of pews to views, as you stated earlier, is that some churches are now aiming to be more entertaining than anything else. Is that necessarily a negative thing? It's actually a question as well.
That's the biggest challenge we have. Because of the term I mentioned earlier, going viral, all right? One of the traditional ethos or ethics of media is that media follows what is bleeding or what is controversial.
Yeah, yeah.
You go and sit in your news brief for tonight or the next bulletin, you realize that the top stories are always scandals, they are murders, they are accidents, they are disasters. The news that sells is that which bleeds.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you come to worship and education and training, people prefer to go for entertainment. That is the biggest demon the church has to deal with, because your standard worship service may not be as attractive as a music concert. But how do you still present your music in a way that edifies people? And so that is now the biggest challenge leaders and worship leaders and content creators need to take care of, because we are not in this business to entertain people. We are in this business for the salvation of souls. And so my recommendation is we definitely need to guard against the spirit of entertainment, because that's what Belial would want us to do.
And it's quite,
that's actually a disruption.
And it's quite tempting, actually, to go that route, eh?
Yes, it is, because it gives you the views. I can tell you, one of the things that contributed to our channel growing quickly online is music. And that music was not entertainment, but music as it is has a way of inspiring people to want to watch more and to continue watching and putting it on repeat. So there is certain types of content that is a quick bite that gets the viewers online consuming it more. So perhaps the church needs to adapt our content, particularly the long form content, to sizable bites that the online audience can take. It's unfortunate, but that's one of the disruptions of the digital age. Our memory is no longer better than a goldfish, they say. We don't want long things anymore. We want short things, you know. But we can sit in front of a movie for an hour because the movie was designed to entertain rather than just to inform. So the church has that real challenge. And I don't want to mince my words. I have seen services where I kept asking, when is worship starting? When is worship starting? Because most of the activities that are being streamed are not even relevant for evangelism. You spend 10, 15 minutes announcing your church announcements online. You spend another 15 minutes reading your election committee, the nominating committee online. Come on, I didn't come online to hear you talk about
true.
You know what I'm saying? So I tend to drift away and you would lose me. So when we structure our content for inspiration, for worship, let's then remove the things that are not going to be relevant for the online
audience.
So my recommendation for churches is either you stream your church service and trim it to what is only relevant for the online audience, as well as those who are in church, or keep your service the way it is, but develop extra content that's suitable for the online viewers that they can consume in one sit down or in one simple trip.
Lovely.
That is definitely what needs to be done.
Lovely. Well, Coach, I must thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's our very first installment this week. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow, same time and same place. And tomorrow, by the way, we're going to be talking about the power of social media and how it affects humanity as in a spiritual manner. Thank you so much for this afternoon. Mm.
Thank you so much, and may the Lord bless us.
Lovely. Thank you.
Bye. Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.